We'll begin our service this morning. We want to really consider the first 9 verses of this chapter, not all of the verses, just some verses. But in verse 7, after calling Jeremiah to be a prophet, we read in his response there that the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. It was an extremely dark time in the history of the children of Israel. They had just experienced, some time previous to this, a revival under Hezekiah. But soon after that, Judah's spiritual condition gradually waxed worse and worse. The north of Israel, by this time, Jeremiah chapter 1, they had long been taken over by Assyria. And the southern kingdom, or the southern tribe of Judah, was about to suffer a similar fate. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll discover that this was nothing new to them. You read of prophets, and the Lord raised them up. Jeremiah 25 speaks of this, that they were rising morning and evening, and they were continually and constantly bringing this warning before the people of Judah, but sadly she didn't listen, and she fell into idolatry. By Jeremiah chapter 1, the nation of Judah really had reached its crisis hour. The disease of idolatry, it had been eating away for centuries now at the heart of the people, and it was devouring them successfully. Now during the reign of Josiah, when Jeremiah was actually called, you read about that in verse 2, Josiah, he had instigated a reformation of sorts. We find that during the reign of Josiah, who was one of the kings, there were 5 kings, who reigned during Jeremiah's prophetic ministry. But the first of those kings, Josiah, he saw an external reformation. There was a change in the religious landscape of the nation. However, it seems that underneath the surface, there was always a heart for idolatry. The love of Baal worship was still very much evident. And if you were to walk the streets of Jerusalem and look up on the rooftops, there was still incense burned to the Queen of Heaven. Idolatry was amongst the people. But that wasn't just the case, but it was also prevalent amongst priest and prophet alike. It was no different to today. There were preachers and they were raised up and they were preaching false messages. Messages of peace, messages of safety, messages of security. They were saying to the people of Judah, you can continue on in your sin. You can do what you like, live as you like, but still the Lord is not displeased with you. They were just like the blind being led by the blind. But in these spiritually dark times, God came to a young man. This young man was Jeremiah. As the Lord came to him in this chapter, he was probably in his late teens or early 20s. And in a time of rejecting God and rebellion against himself, the Lord challenged this young man to be a prophet unto the nations. And here in the midst of a dark time and dark circumstances, Jeremiah was called, Jeremiah was challenged to share and to speak God's message to a sinful people. And rather than being a depressant, the nation's wickedness should be viewed as an assignment. We should view it as a task to be tackled, not a bitter pill merely to be swallowed. My wonder this morning, how do you view the nation's wickedness? Do you view it merely as just something to discourage you, something to depress you, something that gets you down? Or like Jeremiah, are you going to view it as a challenge to rise up and a challenge to preach the message that the Lord has given to us, to preach the message of the gospel? Indeed, it was similar in the days of Isaiah the prophet. He was called at a difficult time. And whenever he was called, we read in Isaiah 6 verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And this was the response of Isaiah, well known to many. Then said I, here am I, send me. Yes, the nation was wicked. And yes, the nation was spiraling spiritually out of control. But did Isaiah say no? Yes, he had his reticence, and yet, yes, he had his anxieties. But what did he say? Lord, it doesn't matter. Here am I. Send me. Times of wickedness are not times to take cover. They are times to take up the challenge, to go and speak God's message to a dying world. And yes, you know the prevailing wickedness of this nation, and it's getting worse. You know that, you see that, you're confronted by it day and daily. And this morning you have a choice. You either take cover, you, as it were, wait, and you hope that something happens, or you merely, as it were, like Jeremiah, view it as an assignment. View it as a task. Say, Lord, yes, I see the nation getting wickeder, but Lord, I'm going to be faithful. Lord, I'm going to, as it were, seek to raise my children in a godly way. Lord, I'm going to give my life to, in some small way, preaching Christ, sharing the message of the gospel, and we trust that you will bring reformation. This is Jeremiah, just a young teenager. Just a young teenager. But the Lord comes to him, and the Lord asks him to do something for him. And Jeremiah, after initial anxiety and initial reticence, he says, yes, Lord. Yes, I'll go. And so I want this morning to simply consider Jeremiah's challenge to be God's spokesman. Jeremiah's challenge to be God's spokesman. I want you to see, firstly, here, the assignment he received. The assignment he received. The nation of Judah were on the eve of captivity. They were about to fall into judgment. And here's the Lord. He comes to Jeremiah. He gives him a task, or he gives him an assignment. Now we're told in these verses, verse 1, something about the background of Jeremiah. There we read that he was the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth. Jeremiah was living in Anathoth. This was a village where priests lived. His father Hilkiah was a priest. And that means that Jeremiah was in line to be a priest. And so he was surrounded in the atmosphere of the priesthood. He lived where the priests would have walked and would have talked, as it were, the language of their office. But Jeremiah was called by the Lord, whilst he was in line to become a priest, to do a different task for him. Notice in thinking about this assignment, the call to this assignment. Verse 5, we read, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, before he was even conceived or formed in the belly, that is, in the womb, the Lord tells him he was known to him. The word known here in the Hebrew is a very, very intimate word. It really has the idea of thorough, intimate knowledge of someone. And what encouragement this would have been to Jeremiah. Yes, Jeremiah, he's in line to be a priest. He's in line, as it were, to have a relatively comfortable life, serving the Lord and just going about his duties. But the Lord then comes to him and he says to him, Jeremiah, I've known all about you. Jeremiah, before you were even born, the plan of your life was mapped out. And in knowing Jeremiah, he then spoke to him and told him that he sanctified and ordained him a prophet unto the nations. The verb sanctify here, it simply means to set apart for a holy use. And here's Jeremiah. Yes, he was in line to be a priest. But the Lord comes to him and the Lord says to him, Jeremiah, I have set you apart for a different use, a holy use, the use of being my spokesman. So I want you to see Jeremiah here. Yes, he has been chosen, set apart in the womb, and now he is sanctified and set apart for the holy use of being God's spokesman. And rather than being silent, God has saved and sanctified you to serve. He has chosen you in Christ to bring the nations unto himself. You see, there is a pattern here. Everyone individual who is a believer in this meeting this morning has been chosen by the Lord. Yes, before you were even born. before you were even formed in the womb. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of this world. You've been chosen in Christ. When Christ died there on the cross for your sins, your name was engraved on the palm of his hands. And the Lord has selected you this morning, just as he selected Jeremiah. Jeremiah could have went on, could have proceeded on in the priesthood. But my Lord's come to you this morning, and he's chosen you out of the multitudes of society. Why? For a holy use. He has saved you to be sanctified and also to serve himself. Again, Paul writing his testimony to the Galatians. He said in Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." Paul speaks in very similar language here to Jeremiah. He said he was separated. When was he separated? From his mother's womb. Why, even before he was born. He was chosen by God. And why was he chosen by God? To reveal his Son in me. In other words, to be more like him. That was why God chose Paul in Jesus Christ to be more like him. To reveal his Son in me. And as he grew in grace and grew in sanctification and his walk with God, he was also chosen to preach him among the heathen. You see, we have been separated and selected by Christ in order that we might serve him. He has chosen you personally, specifically, to walk with him and to serve him. Oh, this morning, wonder, do you sometimes think about why God has chosen you? Maybe you've been dealing with or thinking about these things, the selection of God, the election of God, and you sometimes ask the question, why has God chosen me? Well, the answer is this, to reveal his Son in you, to be more like Jesus Christ, and also to serve him. There was the call to this assignment. I want you also to see the content of this assignment. Verse 7, we read, "The Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." This assignment or task that Jeremiah was given to speak, it was to speak whatsoever God had commanded him. Now, Jeremiah preached for some 40 years. Jeremiah, verses 2 and 3, you read of him preaching in the days of Josiah, and also in the days of Jehoiakim, and in the days of Zedekiah. In other words, Jeremiah was a prophet through the reigns of these kings of Judah. As I said, his ministry spanned some 40 years. And towards the beginning of his ministry, it would have been easier. It would have been easier to proclaim the message that the Lord had given him. That was the message. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, what was this message? Well, it was essentially this, that if you continue on in your sin, then God will come and judge you for your sin. And as I said, in the days of Josiah, it would have been easier to do this. Josiah, he instituted a reformation external, a reformation of sorts. But in the reigns of King Jehoiakim, and also King Zedekiah, it would have been much more difficult. Much more difficult. The nation was getting worse. They loved their sin. They persisted on in their sin. But Jeremiah's task didn't change. I want you to see that, and I want you to really get a hold of this. Jeremiah's task didn't change. His task was still to preach whatsoever God had commanded him. And the tense of the word come in verses 2 and 3 in the Hebrew, it indicates it was a continuous thing. So God was continually reminding Jeremiah, look, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the external conditions. Whether you're preaching in times which is more favorable, like the times or during the reign of Josiah, or you're preaching in more difficult times like Jehoiakim, like Zedekiah, it doesn't matter. The task, it remains the same, to preach whatsoever things I command thee. And rather than changing, the task of the church, it remains constant. It is to share and speak the message of Christ. My Christ has saved you this morning to, yes, walk with him, to be more like him, but also to share the message of the gospel. And yes, I suggest to you that perhaps 40 or 50 years ago, it might have been easier to do that. Might have been easier. We were living in days where the religious climate of society, it made it easier to share the gospel, made it easier to get people into meetings. And yes, we're living in more difficult days. But does our message, does our task change? Does our approach in certain ways, does it change? No. The task, it remains the same. To preach Jesus Christ, to see the kingdom of God extend throughout this country. And indeed, this city. And so the task, it remains the same. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." The word sounded in the original, it has the idea of a trumpet. And this trumpet is played and it's then sounded and it echoes from place to place. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he spoke in verse 4 about their election of God or from God. And what was he saying? He was saying this: you've been chosen in Jesus Christ, and now you're to trumpet forth the message of the gospel. And rather than being concealed or camouflaged, the message of the gospel is to be carried. It is to be trumpeted forth for all to hear. Yes, it might be more difficult. Maybe the place that you're living in, the place that you're working in, the place that you're going to school in, it's difficult. And perhaps 20, 30, 40 years ago, it might have been easier. But nonetheless, the task and the assignment hasn't changed. It's to preach whatsoever the Lord commands us. There was the assignment he received. I want you to see secondly here the anxiety he possessed. The anxiety he possessed. My, what a tremendous responsibility Jeremiah was given. And when he was given this responsibility, we read about how he responded to this call. In verse 6 we read, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." What a lofty assignment Jeremiah had been given. "Jeremiah, you go." And yes, it might get more difficult, and it will get more difficult. And the nation of Judah are going to fall into captivity. But Jeremiah, you go, and you preach exactly what I say to you. How did Jeremiah respond? This young teenager or young man in his early 20s, how did he respond? He said, "Lord, Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He said, "Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I feel my inability. Lord, I'm just a child." The word child here is not so much a reference to his age, although, as I've said, the commentators, they believe he was in his late teens. But the word child here, it has to do more with the sense of inexperience. David used the same word in the Hebrew to describe young soldiers in training. And here's Jeremiah, he's called by the Lord, and he says, "Lord, I'm just a young soldier in training. Lord, I can't speak. And Lord, if even I do speak, they won't listen." And so when he was called and challenged to do it, he was worried about his lack of experience. You see, God calls the unable, and he also calls the incapable. He asks those to speak for him who feel they cannot do so. Yes, perhaps today you've felt the challenge of this command or this assignment. The Lord has said to you, "Look, it doesn't matter what the religious climate is. You are to preach Christ. You are to make me known." But But you feel your sense of inexperience. You feel your own sense of unworthiness. You feel your inability. And you say, Lord, I'm just a child. Lord, I can't speak. Lord, I'm just a young soldier in training. Well, if you feel like that, you feel that you haven't got the ability, then you are just showing that you have the correct qualifications. May have the Lord called Jeremiah to be a prophet, and he said, I cannot do it because of my inexperience. What an encouragement to you. What an encouragement to us all to continue to preach Christ. C.H. Spurgeon, of course, was known for his eloquence. He was known for commanding audiences of thousands and thousands, 15,000-20,000 people. But you know, before he would take any service and would come through the doors of his church and walk up the pulpit, up to the pulpit, he would always pray the same prayer. He would say, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he felt his own inexperience. He felt his own unworthiness. He felt his own inability to preach the message of the gospel. My here's Jeremiah, and the Lord says, I want you to speak. I want you to speak for me. And he says, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm too inexperienced. And Lord, even if I do, they won't listen anyway. There was the assignment he received and the anxiety he possessed. I want you to see thirdly and quickly here the assistance he enjoyed. Verse 9 we read, The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Jeremiah, as we have already seen, he said, Lord, I can't do it. I'm just a child. I'm just a young person. I can't do it. I haven't the capabilities to do it. And then the Lord comes knowing this. And after already telling him that he had set him apart from the womb anyway, he shows him a vision. In this vision, Jeremiah, he looks up to the heavens as it were. And he sees the Lord doing something. He sees a hand as it were appearing. And then coming and touching Jeremiah's mouth. And then after that, he stated to Jeremiah, I have put my words in thy mouth. And through this vision, what was the Lord showing Jeremiah? He was showing him this. Jeremiah, you need not worry. Yes, you feel your inexperience. Yes, you feel your lack of ability. But Jeremiah, the ability comes not from you, the ability comes from me. When you need it most. When you feel your inexperience, when you feel that you cannot share that message, then I'll put forth my hand. And Jeremiah, I'll give you the exact word to speak whenever you need it. This was really a development of verse 1 and 2, where we read the word of God came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah, and it came in Zedekiah, and it came also in the days of Jehoiakim. You see, yes, as Jeremiah opened his mouth, the Lord then gave him the words to speak. And when you open your mouth to speak, God will then fill your mouth to speak. He will reach forth his hand and give you the words. Feel that lack of experience and that lack of capability. Say, I'm not eloquent. Say, you say that I just can't do it. Ah, Lord God, I am a child and I cannot speak. The Lord's reminding you of something this morning. When you speak for him and you're faithful for him, it's his word. It's not your word, it's his word. And he has promised that divine assistance. When you open your mouth, I'll fill it. Matthew 10:19, we read of the disciples there, and Christ had spoke of the coming persecution and how they would handle that. And Matthew 10:19, we read, When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. And the disciples, they were worried. Said to Christ, Look, we'll be delivered up. And what will we do? What will we say? And he said, Look, don't worry. Fear not. I'll give you the word exactly when you need it. You see, the Lord gives us His Word when we need it most. He gives it to us when we feel our lack of ability. How encouraging this morning. Yes, you've felt the challenge of the assignment that the Lord has given you. The Lord has given you that divine task to go to preach whatsoever I command you. But is He leaving you up to on your own to do it? No, He's saying, look, I'll give you the words. I'll give you the help. I'll give you the grace. Jeremiah's challenge to be God's spokesman. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts this morning.